I believe the children still head out at this time. We've improved and kind of streamlined our Sunday school and our programs for the kids. Good to see them leaving and going to their service. We'll be looking at Hebrews today. Pastor Jim has been encouraging us with our talents and our gifts. And just like the songs that we've just sung in worship together, to give our hearts and our mission, our abilities to the service of God's kingdom. So we're going to look at how we can consider to spur each other on to do those things. So if, while we pray, start heading towards Hebrews. If you're unfamiliar, just go towards the back of the Bible, you'll find it. If you hit the maps, you've gone too far. It's back there. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are truly holy, worthy. And we lift up our voices of praise and thanksgiving for your love for us is truly beyond human comprehension, but yet still can be experienced in fullness. So thank you for the blessings. Thank you for allowing us safety to get here today. What we see out there amongst us is crippling in some parts of the country. So Father, we're able to maneuver, to live, and to go about our day amongst this great beauty that you have given to us. So Father, we thank you for this hour, this time together, even for the service that is yet to come. We ask your blessing. We ask your hand upon us, that as the word is proclaimed, that we will hear from you and how it applies to our life. We also pray for everyone on our list. We particularly think of the Hansen family, the loss of a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, and for all the many hands that showed your love to this family from this church. For those who are sick, for those that are hurting, for those that are homebound and wish they could be with us, for those that are on call and have to work, we ask your blessing. We ask your peace to be with them, that you will comfort them and guide them. So we thank you for all that you do, for all that you have planned for us, the gifts that you've given to us. Help us, Father, to overcome any barrier that would prevent us from moving forward to volunteer or to serve or to do whatever it is you're calling us to do. May we be the hands and feet of your beloved Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Before we get started, I was wondering if you could do me a small favor. And this is the only service that will do this. Taking a little liberty here, but every Sunday, my mom joins us from South Shore, Kentucky. And she is 77 years young today. And I was wondering if you could help me just say happy birthday, Teresa. You ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday, Teresa. Mom, we love you. Thank you for joining us every week. So thank you. Hebrews chapter 10. And the message is entitled, Let Us Consider. Just verses 24 and 25, the New King James Version. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're all familiar with Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers, had an interesting quote. He had just some small words about the candle. He says, a candle loses nothing when it lights another candle. Sharing, mentorship, correction, guidance, encouragement, caring, giving, supporting. Just like a candle that lights another candle. These are types of words that we as Christians can use to describe someone who cultivates and enriches the lives of someone else, but also empowers their own church family. I think this is why that 1 Corinthians 13 passage that Pastor Jim has been guiding us through and teaching us through is so unique and powerful. I think that's why it's so popular with weddings, because you're bringing together a man and a woman to empower and to enrich that relationship together. I like verses 7 through 8. It's the part that kind of wraps it up. It says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then it wraps it up. You can put it in bold print. Love never fails. The phrase all things in that passage really in the Greek context means all encompassing. It wraps its arms around everything. Nothing sticks out. Nothing is left out. Nothing discriminates. Nothing gets removed. Everything's included. So what it's trying to tell us about this everything is that we can't withhold love. It can't be adjusted to fit our emotions. It cannot be dismantled and only certain pieces and parts used simply by the way we feel at that moment. Love is always active. Love will always involve somebody else. Love cannot function all by itself. Love is not something we keep to ourselves. Love has to be given away freely and generously. Love has been and always will be about expression, about being lived out and given out towards others, both independently by ourselves to somebody else, but collectively as we come together and we do it as a church body. And I think that's why Paul concluded by saying love never fails. The word used here is translated will not fall down, does not become invalid, and does not suffer ruin. So in other words, love is permanent. And it does not fall apart. It doesn't collapse. It can't be compartmentalized like a model. It can't be taken down piece by piece. Love is complete. Love loves completely no matter what. Loving others, that's the level in which God wants us to reach and to strive after. Because loving others at this level is what testifies to the whole world about God's love for them. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 11 tells us this, let us love one another, because God loves us, and love is from God. And if God so loved us, we must love one another. So by no means is this type of love and this level which God wants us to obtain, in by no means is it meager or stingy or some type of reserved effort on anyone's part. It's not something that we can feel justified turning off or toning down just because we may not feel like it, or maybe we don't know this person, or maybe that's somebody else's church or organization, or that person goes to some other church. It doesn't matter the context. Love loves completely. Our scripture today in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, is the power that we get to do this type of love. Hebrews 10:24 empowers us with a great measure of ability. But the big word I want to use today is accountability. So today we walk away with no more excuses. We need to love and strive after this level that God wants us to love. We have an accountability to make sure, not just you, for me, not just me, but this verse is saying we need to make sure all of us are obtaining this level. We need to continually live out this love at all times. In other words, it's now our responsibility to do this. So let's see why. Look at verse 24. It says, let us consider. This word consider, what do we consider? Well, it's this chance to spur one another to love and good deeds. So let's first look at consider. What does that word mean? The word consider is written in the present tense. That's a key to the puzzle. Present tense means ongoing and continuous into the future. So what it says by considering in the present tense is that it's an ongoing, unending process to keep each other accountable and to keep each other moving towards this level of love. That means we don't stop, we don't give up, and we don't end the process. We're always looking out for one another, nor do we ever quit the process of staying on each other, recognizing each other's abilities, encouraging them to use that ability, and also using the church collectively so that this church moves forward in its missions as well. We don't quit. We recognize. We use the abilities and talents of others. So when we're considering each other, what we're saying is we're almost kind of like taking an oath, raising our right hand and saying that we accept the responsibility to engage each other, to encourage one another. And we're accepting that it's also a mutual responsibility as an entire church body to look out for one another, to make sure we're using our gifts, to make sure that we're volunteering and coming forward and using our talents and abilities for God's kingdom. What it means to me is that we no longer have a right to say, well, that's why we pay Pastor Jim. Well, Charles, that's why we hired you. No, it's not saying, well, that's the committee's, that's the evangelism committee or the worship committees, or that's the, you know, we don't use no more excuses that that's somebody else's responsibility. We find out today from Hebrews 24, it's my responsibility. So we look ourselves in the mirror and say, I'm responsible. It is my responsibility to do this, that Paul is writing here in Hebrews. So it's amazing how we can use our abilities in considering how we can motivate one another to service for the church, for the community, in love and good deeds. So now that we know it is our responsibility, let us consider one another, that we need to understand what it is that we are to consider. Let's consider how to spur each other on to love and good deeds. I like that word spur. We've looked at consider, now spur. That's a unique word. This is another advertisement that I use. This is where Bible study goes so much further than just Bible reading, because you need to look at that key word there, the word spur. It means incite. It means to provoke, irritate. Or one commentary actually said pester. But here is the unique thing. Most times you'll see this word used, of course, in a very negative way. But Paul is very clear to use the positive Greek word here for spur for a context that doesn't mean that we pester somebody or irritate people to make them angry and frustrated. Because we know the results of that. People quit. people leave, people stop volunteering. That's not what Paul is saying here. What he is saying is that we raise our awareness and sense the urgency to support one another, to encourage one another, to be a cheerleader and cheer people on to love and good deeds. Not just once and say, well, I did my part. I said something nice to this person. No, not once, not twice, not three, four, five times. However many times it takes to motivate people into action. We stay on them. We keep pursuing them. We don't let them out of our sight. We never stop because Paul's saying here, there's no limits. There's no expiration dates. It's a lifelong process. We're doing this all the time. We can't afford to delay or disengage and use those excuses of shyness or, well, it kind of makes things awkward or it's really a discomfort. That is no longer a reason for not saying anything. We'll never, ever be able to stand in the presence of God and justify ignoring somebody or not connecting with a person in some form or fashion. We must surrender to our obligation to always, at all times, show genuine concern for one another. And with that concern that we're showing, become diligent with being deliberate of others' needs, concerns, being able to showcase their abilities, their gifts, and their usefulness. Bottom line, I do honestly believe just by simply reading these two verses, we will always be held responsible for each other. Because when we look out for each other, we look out for our church, we love more. When we look out for each other and we look out for our church, we're inspired to do more good things. When we love more and when we do more good things for each other and for our church, then I believe we fulfill our mission. And that is the world becomes more keenly aware of God's love and grace. And they become awakened to the sacrifice of Jesus and their need for repentance, redemption, and salvation. And there's where verse 25 kind of begins to merge together with verse 24. Think of verse 24 as you individually. Now we move into verse 25, you coming together with others collectively as the church body. Verse 25 again, another way to motivate and encourage each other is to keep each other accountable, not just from individual efforts, but we empower each other by gathering together at the group congregation church level. This is where I thought the verse from Ecclesiastes fits so perfectly. I think we've all heard this before. Ecclesiastes 4 verses 9 through 12, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands cannot be quickly broken. So this verse, these two verses in Hebrews about considering how we can spur each other on was written, think of it kind of like pulling the fire alarm. It just sends out this warning, this alarm to alert us of how dangerous it really, truly is to break away from the church, to live without the support of your church family. It was to alert us to a danger that we cannot afford to neglect, to take serious the need to participate in the life of the church. We need each other. This church needs you. I need you. We need each other. And we can't neglect getting together and empowering one another for service and for love, to give and to receive care, to give and to receive the nurture of the church community is a powerful force that we cannot afford to neglect. Because neglecting to meet together in this verse, what I want you to understand was kind of the big ta-da moment for me in studying for this, is looking at the Greek word. It's not applying to just missing church on Sunday. If you really look at the context of what Paul wrote here, Paul was different. He chose his words very carefully, because we realize that the most of the New Testament was written in Greek. So there's more Greek words than there are English words. So he had to choose his words specifically. And there's sometimes he chooses a word that there's only one way to interpret it. So there's absolutely, positively, no mistake what he meant when he by choosing that word. And this is one of those unique cases. It doesn't apply to just Sunday morning worship. The word Paul uses here in Hebrews was just, he wanted to leave it ambiguous. There's kind of a room to work here in this word. The reason for this is so that we would understand this gathering together is not just Sunday morning like what we're doing now. What he really means, he means everything. Everything the church has to offer, we need to be getting engaged in that because we need each other. This cannot happen when people neglect and break away from joining together for the church. So we need to get together. He's talking services, Bible studies, prayer meetings, women's group, men group, holiday events, everything this church offers, we should be engaged some way. Not so much also for the service, but just to be together. So be careful. It's not saying that we can't still meet one-on-one or in groups of two or three or Bible studies of 15 to 20. He's not saying that. He's just simply warning us that going out on your own, alienating yourself, secluding yourself, and being that lone Christian apart from others, he's warning you, don't do that. Now, I'm not talking about those with physical disabilities, those that are homebound. We get that part. But all of us able-bodied, he's speaking to us. We have got to stay together always for everything. In fact, our founder, John Wesley, had a little, of course, he always has an opinion about everything, but he had an opinion about that as well. He said this, quote, "There is nothing more unchristian than a solitary Christian. God did not design us to be completely independent of each other. Disconnecting from the church body, distancing ourselves from the community, it's doing nothing more than inviting disaster, taking advantage of every single opportunity to come together is absolutely not only crucial, but it is necessary. If we don't come together, we fail. I debated whether to say this in this message, but I think I will. In just the Free Methodist Church, that's us as a denomination, there's about, if I did my math right, about 28 conferences in how they've divided up the United States. We're part of what is called the North Central Conference. I did the math. I looked in our annual yearbook. Do you realize in just one year, we have closed 47 churches. The most recent was just 41 days ago. We closed our church in Burlington, Iowa, the Burlington Free Methodist, on December 31st. My goodness, we're dismantling by chunks. This is the stuff that's got to stop because we're failing in some regard to stay together collectively as the church. It's great that we have our groups and our small groups and our 2 to 3 group meetings, but collectively we need to come back together. We're starting to come to pieces here. 47 churches. That's a lot of closed churches that people aren't going to anymore. So we need each other. I think that's what Hebrews is trying to tell us. We've got to be comfortable holding each other accountable to not only encourage us, but to uplift us, to cheer us on, to comfort us when we're hurting, to challenge us when we kind of stagnate, to teach us new things, to love us, to bear our burdens, to pray for us. We need that support to stand strong in adversity when we struggle. We need the hands of others to help us up. We need to hear those voices of people praying for us and putting their arms around us when we struggle and when we are in need. We need generous hearts when we have crisis or when we are struggling. But don't forget, even when it gets mundane and pretty predictable, all is well, guess what? We still need each other even in those times, because that's when you need the cheerleaders. That's when you need the arms around the shoulders. That's when you need the attaboys, because even in the mundane, everyday things, we still need encouragement to keep moving on so that we don't grow weary in well-doing. So let us consider, that's the name of the title of this message, let us consider where is it where I can be a little more active, more intentional. That's the key for me. It's intentionality. We can no longer afford, 47 churches closed last year, we can no longer afford to be reactionary. That is, just kind of waiting around for something to happen. If it happens, maybe I'll think about joining in to see where I can help. No more reactionary. We have got to be intentional. If it's not happening, make it happen. Just get out there and do it. You already have our permission. Let's get going and consider how we can intentionally live out our faith, encourage others to live out their faith, not only in the church, but in the community and through the lives of others. Let us consider how we can be so invested into the lives of each other that all of us collectively are provoked to love and to good deeds as an individual, but also together as the church body. We all need to be motivated, excited, and filled with joy of being a Christian, so that individually and as a church body, we are always, everywhere, manifesting the love of Jesus, so that others' curiosity is piqued into such a degree they want what we have, and we can tell them it's Jesus. That's who we have. Let's get motivated, excited, and filled with joy again to spread the word, the news that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, and we can glorify our Father who is in heaven. Let's consider those things. Let's get motivated. Let's stick together. A team can't win if they only send two or three people out onto the field. We need each other. I need you. We all need each other. Let's spur each other on to good words, good deeds, and love. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful. You have something great and mighty and wonderful for us to do. If we're homebound and can't leave, we're in a nursing home or a care center, we can still pray. We can still talk to the nurses and to the doctors and the care. We can even talk to the custodial staff that comes in and cleans. We can do all kinds of things. For us who are retired, we've got plenty of time to find something that we can do. For us that who are busy and have our kids into the school system with activities, there's still something. There's time, there's an event, there is an organization. There's something that where we can use our talents and our abilities. Whatever it is, Father, we're going to step out in faith and just simply ask you to burn in our hearts that desire. Just give that desire into our hearts that we can no longer fight that. We have to do something. Help us to see the opportunities where that our talents can be used, that we don't need to be shy and feel awkward of asking. We want you to come forward. We want you to be a part of what's moving in this church. be a part of Vacation Bible School, be a part of this new organization. We can be a part of New Pathways. We can join a prayer group. We can join a, just find a place. Lord, lead us. Burden our hearts beyond what we've ever burdened before so that we will move forward, activated, inclusive to the church. Help us to spur one another on to love and good deeds. And we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, what wondrous love you do show to us. It's the same love that we express to one another. Help us to encourage and to spur one another on to find each other's gifts and talents and to encourage each other to use those for your glory. So may we love like you and be your hands and feet to others as we learn to serve and to encourage this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.